Turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read by Brother David Love. That was Mark chapter 6. He read verses 21 through 29. He read 21 through 29. I'd like to, for your consideration, also to read verses 17 through 20 of the same chapter, Mark chapter 6. Mark 6, verses 17 through 20. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, that is, against John, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. It's interesting that Herod feared John. Herod respected John. And Herod recognized that John was a good man. He recognized that he was a pious man, that he was an holy man. No matter how evil, or how vile, or how wicked a person might be, usually he still maintains the ability to recognize a good man when he sees one. The low-downest, meanest rascal, the most mendacious predator, murderer, rapist, he knows a good man when he sees one. Herodias nursed a vile and hateful grudge against John. Somebody has said that hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. She was angry with John because John dared to condemn her and her new husband. John simply said, knowing that Herod had married his brother Philip's wife, he said, it is not lawful for you to have her. That didn't set well with Herodias at all. The Herods were wicked folk. They had killed their brothers. They had killed their mothers. They had killed their sons. Somebody, I believe, made the remark once that it's better to be Herod's dog than Herod's son. The Herods were a wicked and depraved brood of men. But Herod, as wicked as he was, he had respect for John, and he recognized John as a good man. But Herodias, nursing that vengeful grudge in her wicked heart was waiting for an opportunity when she could take murderous vengeance on poor John. And she finally was provided with an opportunity. John had a birthday party. He had a number of dignitaries present. For entertainment, he had his stepdaughter and apparently niece. She provided the entertainment. She performed a lewd, salacious, sensual, sexy, lascivious, evil and vile passion arousing dance before Herod and his wicked co-celebrators of his birthday. Herod got very excited, and this caused him to first of all lose his head. See, there were two heads that were lost. Herod lost his head first. And he lost his head at a dance. After he lost his head, poor John, innocent John, holy John, righteous John, godly John, faithful John, unfortunately, innocently, lost his head following a dance. And that same thing, in a sense, is happening today. Men are still losing their heads because of lascivious, lewd, lustful, salacious, sensual, vile, sexy dances. Herod, in the throes of passion, promised his stepdaughter. He was so excited by her lewd display in dancing that he said, "Honey, whatever you want, whatever you want, baby, I'll give it to you. Even to the half of my kingdom." With the help of her vile and wicked mother, the girl requested the head of John the Baptist. She didn't really know what to ask for. Mama said, "I'll tell you what you asked for. I'll tell you what you asked for. This is my moment. This is my opportunity. I'm going to seize it. I'll fix him for good." She no doubt silent in her own mind and even maybe had verbalized it. "I'm going to get him. I'm going to get John if it's the very last thing I do." And she waited for an opportunity. And when the opportunity presented itself, she immediately seized it. "Now is my chance." So she told that daughter, she said, "I tell you, honey, he said, whatever you want, I'll give it to you, even to the half of my kingdom." She said, "Asked for John the Baptist's head." And notice verse 26. "And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. This request was quite a shock to Herod. And we see that he wasn't expecting her to make such a request as this. The record says he was exceeding sorry. Yet, despite his sorrow, despite his regret, despite his remorse, despite his apprehension, despite his reluctance, he granted her request. Now, the question we need to ask ourselves is, why did he grant such a wicked request? What caused him, what moved him, what activated him to grant this vile and wicked request? The answer is that he was motivated by the wrong motives. You know, motive is that which causes us to move or to take actions. Motive is that which influences and impels us to pursue a particular course of action. What was it that moved Herod to command that John be beheaded, and that his poor head of this innocent man, the head of John, be brought to her on a platter? Can you imagine that? Like you would carry a turkey to the table on Thanksgiving on one of those large platters. She said, give me his head on a platter. Can you imagine how wicked, how evil this woman was? Herod's evil motivations involved passion, priorities, and people. Passion. This wicked deed of Herod started with the lewd entertainment of the dancing of his stepdaughter, which stirred up his vile, sensual passion. Herod then let his passion rule him instead of principle. Bad entertainment will always corrupt. In every town and city, we have places of bad entertainment that stroke the fires of our passions. Bars and dance halls and movie houses and gambling casinos, and they all motivate to evil conduct. They cause passion to rule instead of principle. If you want to stay holy, keep away from unholy places. You see, passions will carry you farther than you intend to go. Your passions will carry you much farther than you intended to go, keep you longer than you intended to stay, and cost you more than you intended to pay. Ask the young lady who fell victim to her passions in some back seat, in some dark and isolated area, or maybe on the living room couch at home when her parents were away. Your passions can get you into a world of trouble, and not just sexual passions, there are other kinds of passions as well. But we should never be ruled, we should never be governed, we should never be guided by our passions. We must always subordinate our passions and our own wills to the principles of God's divine word. Don't let passion rule you. Allow principles, righteous, godly principles, to rule you instead. If you allow your passions to take over, your passions will get you into trouble every single time. Your passions will cause you to lose your head, as Herod lost his. So Herod was motivated by his passions. But secondly, Herod was motivated by his priorities. Notice the record says he was sorry, yet for his oath's sake, he went ahead and did it anyway. He wouldn't reject her request. Herod's word had more and greater priority than God's word. He was more concerned about keeping his word than keeping God's word. Herod knew it was wrong to murder John. He knew it was wrong to take the life of this innocent, godly, righteous man. But because of his oath's sake, and he said, I promise, you know, I'm got to follow through on it. You'd rather keep your word than God's word. You have your priorities mixed up indeed. This resulted in his doing a very evil deed of ordering the beheading of John the Baptist. You will never live a pure life if your word or men's words have priority over God's word. We must teach our children to respect God's word at all costs, to always subordinate ourselves to the word of God. Our attitude must always be that of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. To keep yourself from doing vile evil, to keep yourself from exiting the straight and narrow way, God's word must always have priority in your life. By what was Herod motivated? Motivated by his passions, motivated by his unfortunate priorities, but additionally, he was motivated by people and the peer pressure that they exerted against him. Notice, he was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. He didn't want to do it. But he had promised to do a wicked thing, an evil thing. He opened himself up when he told her, whatever you want, no matter if it's godly or ungodly, righteous or unrighteous, good or evil, whatever you want, to the half of my kingdom, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And now, he did not want to go back on his word. So for his oath's sake and for the sake of the people that were there, he would not reject her vile request. Herod was more concerned about the honor of the people than the honor of God. He wanted to please the people at his birthday party, at his banquet, more than he wanted to please God. He was more afraid of ridicule from the people than about retribution from God. Herod wanted to be popular with unholy people more than be popular with the holy God. Such a motivation will lead you to much evil. We must not bow to the pressure exerted by people who are around us. I want to look at one example as we close of people bowing to the pressure exerted by people. John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, this is John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And notice the telling message in verse 43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They love the approval of men more than the approval of God. They love to please men more than they love to please God. Let us learn these serious lessons from King Herod. Let us never be motivated by our passions, by wrong priorities, and by mere men. Let us always be motivated by our commitment to truth, and by our commitment to that which is right, by our commitment to the Word of God, by our deep and abiding desire to live in a manner that is always pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God, who loved us enough that he sent his son Jesus down the cross in our stead, in our place. Learn these vital lessons from a wicked king. And then we learn, as we close, powerful lesson from John. You know, if John had kept his mouth closed, he would have kept his head. But sometimes you have to stand up. You have to stand up and speak up and tell the truth and let the chips fall where they may. John was not afraid. John told him, and he told him right, it's not lawful for you to have. Oh, that didn't set well with Herodias. Got her fighting mad. Vengeance filled. But still, John took a stand for right. And we have to take a stand for right too in the midst of a crooked, perverse, and wicked generation. Have to take a stand for that which is right. Somebody has rightly said, silence is not always golden. Sometimes it is merely yellow. We need the courage to speak up. The Lord said in Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Didn't say until death, but unto death. Even if it results in your death, still be faithful. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you can become one this evening.
Sister Joyce Gordon became one this morning. When she heard the wonderful story of love, of how Jesus loved her so much that he died on the cross of Calvary for her sins. Not because she deserved it, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was buried, but he arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day. That's the good news of salvation. She believed that good news. She repented of her sins, turned her back on the things she knew to be wrong, turned to the Lord with a commitment to live for him for the rest of her days. That's what repentance is all about. Turning away from wrong, away from sin, turning to the Lord to live for him. She also stood before the audience and confessed her faith in Christ as God's Son, saying, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And upon that confession of faith, we immersed her in water for the remission of her sins. She arose from the water ready to walk in the newness of life, having the assurance of having become a part of the family of God, having been added to the church of the Lord's choice, having been born again, having been made free from sins. You can experience the same thing this evening if you will respond in the same manner this evening. If you're here and you're already a Christian but have fallen by the wayside, why not rededicate your life through repentance, confession, and prayer? If you are here and need to respond, we urge you to do it even right now as we together stand and as we sing.
Time is standing before the judgment, for the quick, the risen dead.
He calls.